صباح الخير. عناوين اليوم: الإمارات تعتمد نظام جديد للعمل الأسبوعي، واتساب تطلق ميزة إخفاء الرسائل، وتويتر تستحوذ على شركة مراسلة. يا أهلا وسهلا فيكم ببرنامجكم صباحكم مع سماشي، معي أنا هالة بسام، ومعنا بخلف الكواليس مثل العادة علي.
صباح الخير يا جماعة الخير.
أخبار كثير عن القرار الجديد لدولة الإمارات وعلي، يعني وكلاتنا متوترين من امبارح تحديدا لأنه في فرق ما بين القرارات لقطاع الخاص و الحكومة. ولكن يوم أمس أعلنت حكومة الإمارات نظام جديد للعمل الأسبوعي للقطاع الحكومي الاتحادي بالدولة، لتكون 4 أيام ونصف يوم عمل، وذلك رح يكون من يوم الاثنين إلى الخميس، ونصف يوم عمل في يوم الجمعة، وبتكون العطلة الأسبوعية يومي السبت والأحد، وذلك ابتداء من تاريخ 1 يناير 2022، على أن يكون الأحد 2 يناير إجازة رسمية. ويطبق القرار على جميع الجهات في القطاع الحكومي الاتحادي في الدولة، حيث ستكون ساعات الدوام الرسمي بناء على القرار الجديد من الساعة 7:30 صباحا إلى 3:30 بعد الظهر من الاثنين إلى الخميس، يعني 8 ساعات عمل، ومن الساعة 7:30 صباحا إلى الساعة 12 ظهرا بالنسبة ليوم الجمعة. مثل ما ذكرنا رح يكون 4 ساعات ونصف فقط ليوم الجمعة، ورح يتم أيضا الإعلان لاحقا عن ساعات الدوام في المدارس الحكومية في الدولة. ورح يتضمن النظام الجديد إمكانية تطبيق ساعات دوام المرنة ونظام العمل عن بعد أيضا ليوم الجمعة تحديدا في الجهات الاتحادية، على أن تقر الجهات الاتحادية آليات التنفيذ بما تقتضيه أيضا طبعا من مصلحة سير العمل في هذه الجهات. كما تم بناء على هذا القرار توحيد موعد إقامة خطبة وصلاة الجمعة لتكون 1:15 ظهرا على مستوى الدولة طوال العام. وعلى الصعيد الاقتصادي، رح يعزز نظام العمل الأسبوعي الجديد موقع دولة الإمارات على خارطة الأعمال كمركز اقتصادي عالمي، حيث سيسهم في تعزيز اندماج الاقتصاد الوطني مع مختلف الاقتصادات والأسواق العالمية، ورح يعزز أيضا من موقعها الاستراتيجي المهم والفاعل في الاقتصاد العالمي، خاصة طبعا أنه النظام الجديد للعمل الأسبوعي يؤمن تطابق أيام التبادلات والتعاملات التجارية والاقتصادية المالية مع الدول اللي بتعتمد هذه العطلة الأسبوعية اللي هي يوم السبت والأحد. كما أن أيضا اعتماد نظام أيام العمل والعطلة الأسبوعية الجديد رح يدعم القطاع المالي بشكل كبير جدا، حيث أنه رح يعمل على الموائمة مع أيام العمل في البورصات وأسواق المال العالمية أيضا، بالإضافة إلى البنوك العالمية، وبالتالي كل هذا رح يعزز النظام الجديد أداء أسواق الأسهم والبنوك وشركات التأمين والتجارة الخارجية لدولة الإمارات. كما أيضا شفنا تركيز كبير على أهمية المرونة في العمل لزيادة الإنتاجية، في كتير عالم تؤمن بأنه ساعات العمل المرنة، العمل من المنزل، خيار العمل من المنزل الآن بيزيد من الإنتاجية. علي، شو رأيك؟ هل أنت بتتوقع أنه فعلا إذا كان في ساعات عمل مرنة هل بتزيد الإنتاجية؟
أحس أن كل ما في بريك، يعني وقت فراغ، أن ناخذ شوي يعني نفسيتنا، نسترجع نفسيتنا، زين نقدر نرجع اقوى. يعني احس ان هالشيء زين لنا وزين الاقتصاد.
صحيح.
لان من ناحيه كيفيه الوادم، يعني شلون يشتغلون، بيشتغلون ما بيشتغلون بطريقه احسن.
هاي الفكرة، انه في ناس بتحتاج ل وفي تركيز كبير الان على الصحة النفسية، الورك لايف بالانس، يعني التوازن ما بين الحياة الشخصية والعملية وكل هذه الامور، ويمكن هاي من احد الدروس اللي تعلمناها بفترة كورونا ايضا، يعني اهمية هذا الموضوع، واثبتت جدارتها انه العمل من المنزل ايضا بتضل الانتاجية فيه عالية. العديد من الشركات لسه ماشي بنظام العمل من المنزل، منها أكبر شركات التكنولوجيا جوجل مثلا، وتحديدا الآن مع السلالة الجديدة فمتخوفين فقرروا أنه يضلوا عم يشتغلوا من المنزل. إنتاجية مرتفعة، ولكن طبعا في نقاش وحوار أنه إذا قلت ساعات، عم يبتسم علي عارف شو اللي جاي، إذا قلت ساعات الدوام مثلا صار إجازة يومين ونصف تعتبر، هل رح يقل الراتب مثلا؟
ما انا ما اتفق بان ينزلونه
اكيد ما تتفق انت.
لا، من ناحيه ان اذا الشخص احس ان هاي شيء جديد لنا كلنا.
صحيح.
احس ان يمكن في فتره تجارب نشوف اذا يعني الشركات الخاصه يجربون. يعني مثلا خلوا نفس المعاش نفس الشيء يشوفون شلون من هل
انتاجية بتقل
او نشتغل اكثر. يعني
بس انت عم يندفع لك للساعه صحيح اللي
اي بس يعني في ستاندرد للمعاش.
صح.
فما اعرف يعني
في العديد من التساؤلات حول هذا الموضوع، ولكن مهم جدا. يعني انا عشت فتره الاجازه لما كانت خميس وجمعه. كانت خميس وجمعة. حتى قبل الخميس وجمعة كانت العطلة بتوقع بس الجمعة. فقط يوم واحد. وتخيل يعني إنه يوم واحد، نحن هلا ما فينا نتخيل إنه الإجازة تكون ممكن يوم واحد. ولكن الواحد بيتكيف مع هذه الأمور. القرار المهم إنه الآن موحدة العطلة مع الدول حول العالم، فبالتالي فعلا من الناحية الاقتصادية رح يأثر بشكل إيجابي على الأسواق، أسواق البورصة، أيضا المعاملات التجارية وغيرها، كل هذا رح يلعب دور كبير بهذا الموضوع. أما إذا بدنا ننتقل إلى عالم التكنولوجيا وتحديدا السوشيال ميديا، ومن أكثر التطبيقات اللي بنستخدمها تطبيق واتساب. الآن يمكن لمستخدمي واتساب اختيار إخفاء رسائلهم بعد فترات زمنية متنوعة بفضل تحديث جديد. ووسع تطبيق المراسل المملوك لشركة ميتا اللي هي فيسبوك سابقا خيارات ميزة إخفاء الرسائل واللي طرحت في أواخر العام الماضي، وبالإضافة إلى القدرة على جعل الرسائل تختفي بعد 7 أيام أصبح الآن لدى المستخدمين خياران إضافيان لفترة الحذف سواء كان 24 ساعة أو حتى 90 يوم. ويؤدي تشغيل ميزة إخفاء الرسائل إلى اختفاء جميع الرسائل الجديدة من الدردشة المختارة بعد الفترة الزمنية اللي أنت بتحددها كمستخدم. وقالت أيضا مدونة واتساب أنه يجب أن يكون تحديد المدة اللي بتستغرقها الرسالة بين يديك هو خيار أنت بتختاره. وذكر مؤسس الشركة ميتا المالكة للتطبيق مارك زوكربيرغ في حسابه على فيسبوك أنه رح تتمكن من جعل جميع الدردشات الجديدة تختفي افتراضيا بعد 24 ساعة 7 أيام أو 90 يوم. ليست كل الرسائل بحاجة للبقاء إلى الأبد. أنا مع هذه الخاصية الجديدة لسبب أنه فعلا الواتساب تبعنا بتوقع فيه العديد من الدردشات اللي نحن مو بحاجته، وحتى في بعضهم بياخدوا من الذاكرة والميموري تبع التليفون. فبالتالي بعض الرسائل أو المحادثات اللي الواحد بيتوقع أنه ما أنه بحاجة أنه فعلا تضل للأبد، ممكن بعد 90 يوم أنه تختفي هذه الرسائل. شو رأيك علي؟
أنا
هل تمسح انت الرسائل؟
انا ما امسحها، اخلي ميوت الجروبات. ما افتحهم، يعني فوق الالف مسج ما افتح.
وبعدين انا اكتشفت خاصية الجديدة الارشيف الاركايف.
اي اركايف. اي اركايف، كله اركايف، يعني جروب ورا جروب اركايف. يعني بستعمل الميزة انا. يعني أنا من الناس اللي
أنا من الأشخاص حاس أكيد مو لكل الدردشات، ممكن في دردشات الواحد بحب إنه تضل، ولكن في دردشات فعلاً أنت مانك بحاجة إنه تضل، يعني بعد 90 يوم مختار إنه تروح لأنه ما رح يضل شيء مهم بعد 90 يوم.
نفس يعني. نفس سناب شات على السريع.
تمام. في خيار 24 ساعة أو 7 أيام من شركة واتساب، فخيار وميزة جديدة ممتازة. أما إذا بدنا نحكي عن شركة تويتر، أكملت شركة تويتر استحواذها على الشركة الناشئة كويل اللي بتوفر خدمة مراسلة، وسبق لها إطلاق منصتها هذا العام، بالتحديد كانت بشهر فبراير. وبالرغم من إطلاقها قبل 10 أشهر تقريبا، فتويتر أعلنت عن إغلاق الخدمة بعد إتمام الاستحواذ لتكون متاحة للمستخدمين حتى نهاية هذا الأسبوع فقط. وبتوفر كويل خدمة مراسلة عبر تطبيقاتها، يصفها البعض بأنها بتجمع بين مزايا مثل سلاك وديسكورد أيضا لتحسين تجربة التواصل والتعاون بين المستخدمين. فيما تصف الشركة نفسها بأنها خدمة مراسلة تهدف إلى رفع جودة التواصل بين الناس، لاعتقادها أنه أدوات التواصل المتوفرة حاليا للجمهور ما بتقدم لهم الأفضل. عم تعمل الشركة الآن على إعادة رسوم الاشتراكات لمشتركيها طبعا بعد حذف جميع البيانات المتعلقة بهم عبر المنصة، بالإضافة أيضا إلى حذف معلومات فرق العمل قبل الانضمام إلى تويتر وخوض فصل جديد من حياتها. طبعا مثل ما شفنا في أخبار جديدة عن تويتر، مثل ما ذكرنا سابقا وغطينا، المؤسس لتويتر تنحى عن منصبه، الآن عم نشوف استحواذ جديد. في العديد من التساؤلات من المستثمرين في تويتر حول ما إذا كان فعلاً الميزات الجديدة مؤخراً من تويتر فيها فعالية أم لا. الستوريز حطوها لفترة وبعدين شالوها، مثل مثلاً إنستغرام اللي هي عبارة عن قصص بتضل موجودة لمدة 24 ساعة، ولكن شافوا أنه هاي الميزة ما أجدت أي نفع وما كان في إلها أي صدى فشالوها. بعدين عم يشتغلوا على تويتر سبيسز اللي هو مشابه لتطبيق كلب هاوس خلينا نقول، ولكن أيضا يعني ما إله هاي الشعبية الكبيرة جدا. ففي العديد من التساؤلات، وتحديدا بعد تنحي جاك بالفترة الأخيرة من تويتر على تحديدا منصة تويتر. أما بعد الفاصل خليكم معنا، مقابلتنا مع ابتسام عواصف الشريك المؤسس لشركة كاشيو للمدفوعات. خليكم معنا ولا تروحوا لبعيد. ورجعنا لكم من جديد ومعنا ضيفتنا ابتسام وصيف، الشريك المؤسس لشركة كاشيو للمدفوعات. Welcome to the show ابتسام.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us, although you're jet lagged. We were just chatting before that.
Yes. You just got back from the US, so it's a little bit difficult to adapt to the new time zone.
Yeah, of course, to adapt. We would like to know a brief about Cashew. When did it start and why did you start it as well?
Sure. So Cashew was born, the concept on itself, about 2 years ago, and then was launched. We went live March this year, so beginning of this year. The concept come to mind, I mean, BNPL itself, we're in the BNPL space, obviously. BNPL itself is a very, let's say, old financial service, right? We had BNPL companies in the Western world that have been operating for about 15, 12 years. But here in the UAE, we had none. And I was feeling that there was a need for it, given that specifically here in the UAE, there was a high number of, the credit card penetration was very high. Yeah. So I felt like if the user are very comfortable using credit card and interest bearing product, they would be more comfortable using a BNPL product that has no interest to it, right? So I began doing some research. I worked always in the payment and the banking space. So I was very familiar with credit products. So I started doing some research and see if there was a market fit for me there was, but we had obviously we needed to test it. And while we did our research, we felt that was actually the UAE was the perfect market to start with. And obviously there were other countries like KSA, all the GCC, as well as North Africa. So we decided to start the platform build. We did a pilot launch during beginning of 2020, mm-hmm. but then you know what happened, yes. during 2020. A few months later after we went live with our pilot, COVID hit, so we decided to withdraw a little bit and consider what's the right move, if there was need to pivot, because it was in store, yeah. so to pivot to e-commerce. And we spent a couple of months just brainstorming and realigning on the strategy, and after that, yes, we went live beginning of this year. I didn't want to go too deep into the BNPL and what BNPL is, but in case of the users are not very familiar with the term BNPL, which means buy now, pay later, which allowed users to shop either online or e-commerce at any retailer, and instead of paying for their goods immediately, they can apply for Cashew and split their payment into monthly installments. So we started with 3 months, so you can split your payment in three equal monthly installments, and then we will be offering 6 months, 12 months, 24, and so on, like sky's the limit. And obviously we are starting with smaller, let's say 10 years at the moment, and also smaller ticket size. The maximum amount that we are offering now is for services capped at 20,000 dirhams, as mm-hmm. well 20,000 and obviously we will increase that as the, let's say, the service becomes popular within the end users.
That's interesting that you mentioned about COVID, because it was a challenge for a lot of companies all over the world. But what was the proof for you that yes, you need to continue this journey with Cashew, although the challenge of COVID and launching it during that time?
Yeah, so for us, I think because the space that we were at in which is financing and in general, the BNPL space boomed during COVID. So we, at the beginning when COVID started, we didn't know what's gonna happen, right? That's the reason why we withdrew a little bit, just to watch the space, right? So when we saw that the space was booming in the Western world, actually users were at home, they were shopping more, there have been a lot of layoffs. So like users is not really, people did not know, there was uncertainty on the income and their work, but they still needed to buy certain things. So actually picked up. So we said, okay, means that we shouldn't stop it. We shouldn't stop and wait. We should continue, because maybe this is what's gonna give us a push actually. So, and we just took, let's say, a leap of faith, and we said, let's test it and see what's going to be the outcome. And it worked out pretty well. So I think it's just about taking that risk, right?
Exactly.
Obviously, we did cut cost, we did cut the number of employees and all of that just to be safe on the safe side. But it worked out pretty well. And I have to say, yes, again, it's because of the industry that we were in.
Yeah, 100%. If we want to talk from a customer point of view, are there fees if I want to use Cashew, because you said zero interest, if I want to sign up and start using it?
Yeah, there is literally zero fees, and that's why we feel like it's a huge advantage for us against credit cards, right? Let's say I see BNPL has is disrupting the credit card business. Credit card business is so old, it's been there for many, many years. I think it was about time that some other services came into the market to disrupt those type of services. So it's literally no hidden fees. When we say 0%, we mean zero fees. The only fee that is there and is also capped is if you don't pay on time your installment and you do not notify us either. We have some users that call us, they ask for a deferral because they don't have the amount in their bank account at that moment in time. They're waiting for the salary transfer. So we defer the payment for them, but there is no fees. We do cut that fee. But if we don't hear from you and you miss your payment after 3 days, the 2% of the total outstanding amount kicks in. And it capped at the maximum cap of 50 dirhams. So you're not paying more than that.
Exactly. How do you guarantee that people actually will pay their payments, since there's no interest, no fees, nothing?
Yeah, so that's why I was saying we started with shorter tenure. It's a 3 months installment plan only. As well as it's capped at 20,000 dirhams, but it's based on merchant and based on industry. We sign and we have within our ecosystem merchants and retailers from different ecosystems. There is shopping and consumer goods, there is electronics, there is services like in the healthcare space as well as education. So each one of them has a different cap and a different limit. Why? It's because of a risk factor, as you said. So we feel that electronics, for example, is a higher risk. Why? Because it's a reseller, let's say industry, people can buy and then go resell them in the market and all of that. Against education, for example, when parents split their children education into installment, there's a very low risk because it's something that it needs to happen. Children go to school, the payment needs to be there. So there the maximum amount is higher. So for the electronics, I go back to the high risk industries, the maximum amount that we offer for now for first time users is 2,500 dirhams, which is a very low amount, which is just to test the user. So because you are the first time user, we don't have much data about you in terms of are not an existing user. So we try you first, we see how you would perform, and then we increase the limit, and then we increase the tenure for future purchases that you would want to do. But at the same time, we do evaluate the consumer profile, and this is something that is differentiating us from banks, right? And fintechs have access to different type of technologies, a different type of data, and we assess that data differently than a bank would, and that can tell us a little bit about the user profile that we're engaging with, and as well what is the likelihood of them defaulting or not paying us back. Exactly. So that data, that alternative data, is giving us some insights that eventually we wouldn't get.
And about the B2B business model, can you tell us more about it? How do businesses get paid as well and benefit from this?
Sure. So as you said, like there is like now the listeners will realize that there is two aspects to us. There is the B2B and the B2C, direct to user, to consumer. We deal with them directly. But in order for us to offer our services to the end user, we need to partner with merchants. So that's when it comes to B2C aspect. For the merchant side, there is no risk for merchant partners because they get paid. And as soon as the transaction happened, there is either T+2 or T+3. It depends on the volumes of the merchant partner. And then we deal with the user directly. We get a lot of merchants getting in touch with us because they see value in this type of service, right? For them, they merchants, in order to increase user stickiness as well as, keep users coming back to them, is offering them as many options as possible. Possible for them to choose from. So we see merchant offering here in this region cash and delivery, for example, for users who are comfortable with paying cash and delivery. There is Visa, MasterCard payment, there is payment links. So merchant wants to offer another alternative, which is buy now, pay later at their checkout. And they have seen merchants that introduce this type of service, they've seen that been working for them. It increases the purchasing power of the user. It increases the average basket size, right? Because if you have an alternative mode of payment that is giving you 3 months to pay for whatever you're buying, obviously you might buy more now rather than waiting for the next salary next month and the next month. Specifically, let's say, for example, you are furnishing your house, right? If you had a limit into the amount that you can spend, this month you buy a table, next month you buy the chairs, the month after you buy a sofa. But here we allow you to buy everything at the same time and then pay for it over installments. And there is no need. Some users say, why not using credit card then? But credit card, the difference between BNPL and credit card is that credit card blocks the whole amount. So you won't be able to use that amount, apart from the fees, right? Let's say someone says, I'm comfortable with paying the fee. But like it blocks the whole amount and you not be able to use that amount for the rest of the month until you pay back. For us here, we don't block any amount, nothing. We give you additional credit. So it's like if you get a credit on top of the credit that you already have, or you don't have, because you can. There is some users that really don't use credit card. In UAE, credit card penetration is very high. But in Saudi Arabia, for example, it's low because users are not familiar or they don't want to have a credit card for Sharia compliant manner, whatever it is. So we offer them a new credit line. And merchants are very happy because of that, because the number speaks for themselves and there is no liabilities for them. There is no risk because they get paid on time and they get paid as usual, right? And because of that, they're willing to help us more with some data, transactional data, if they have loyalty system in place or some loyalty data about the user, so that will help us assess the user better and also increase the limits for them so that they can shop more.
That's true, but recently, like, the competition is really high, especially in the region, about buy now, pay later. So literally, like, I would go on a website and I might see like different ones. So why would I pick Cashu, and how do you deal with that competition?
Sure. So like us back in the 2 years ago, 2 years and a half ago, and I feel like us, others as well have noticed that BNPL was missing in the region. For me, it was after I traveled to London, right? I went to the UK, I was at the checkout and someone offered me Klarna and I didn't know what Klarna was. So, and I researched about Klarna and was like, wow, this is cool. I wish we had this in the UAE, right? So at that time I was working at a bank, and when I went on, I was a product. So I always worked in product. Prior to that, I did business, but then I moved into product. And I went back to my boss at that time and I said, this is a really cool idea. I think we could launch this. And I've been given like a straight no, because for whatever reason, it wouldn't work in this market. I've been told it wouldn't work in this market. And I was like, okay, sure. But I kept thinking about it. And I think same like me again, others I have came up with the same idea based on their experiences, whatever it is they've seen in the news and successful companies or they experienced themselves elsewhere. So all of us, and I don't think this has ever happened in any other market, I don't know, but all of us started working on it at the same time.
Almost, yes. Yes.
Yes, on the idea, on fundraising also, on everything, everybody at the same time. And I think COVID has played a big role. So I think for us, we were a little bit scared and not so bullish in the first few months, but other BNPL players, and kudos to them, they were more bullish, which means they took on the risk regardless. They've seen it coming first. And that's, again, kudos to them. So we, still say all of us, we launched at the same time, and we had about, I guess, us that launched all of the same at the same time, we were four, all out of the UAE. And then after a while, some others in other GCC countries launched also a few months later, a few months after. So it was tough back then, and it's still tough now to establish that market leader, right? Because you see, it depends where you are, what are you announcing from a B2C aspect, from a B2B aspect, like on LinkedIn or a fundraiser or partnerships,
right?
Yeah. So one announced a partnership with a big group, so they are considered the market leader and they're getting all the attention. And then someone else comes and announces something else and now becomes the market leader. So this is how the competition now is not in a user level, consumer level. It's still at the B2B level in terms of merchant partnerships. Who acquires the biggest merchant or the, let's say,
partnership
the partnerships and all of that gets the biggest exposure. And then it's considered that because of that, then they will get more users. But I don't see it like that. I see it more on creating brand awareness, and then the brand at the end of the day, the partnerships, they will come in place regardless, right? Because if you establish a huge user base through your brand or through your B2C activities, and you have a huge user base and a huge user following, those partnerships will come to you regardless. The merchants will want to partner with you because you have a big user base. So we, us as Cashew, we're not much focused on that, to fight for partnerships or to fight for groups or brands, because we know our strategy is slightly different. Right, for now we are offering baseline product, as I said, paying three a maximum amount of 20,000. We're looking at the data, we're looking consumer behavior, but we're working on bigger products that we think they're going to set us apart from the competition, and they will attract attention of bigger brands and bigger merchants, because they will see the advantage of Cashew. Not just that, I feel also markets, right? So all of us, we are in the UAE, we are in Saudi Arabia, but UAE, I feel like if you prove a concept in UAE and that works, you can take it anywhere else.
True.
I think that's why everyone starts here. And then now Saudi obviously, it's a huge market and it's challenging because it's big, not anything else. And obviously, it's slightly different than the UAE. So getting into the Saudi market and taking over the Saudi market is going to take some time because it's big. And I think there is space for even more than three is big enough. But then after that, what happens? What are the other countries? That's going to set BNPL players apart.
Right? And you have plans for expansion, right? For 2020.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yes, definitely. So what we want, I see North Africa has big opportunity, maybe because, so I'm from Italy, but originally I'm from Morocco. So my dad's Moroccan. I've been there a couple of times, and I can see that now FinTech is taking over there too. Still a lot of services are missing. So I see that a big opportunity, like Morocco, as well as Algeria, as well as Tunisia. So I feel like North Africa haven't been looked at currently, because I feel like all the new tech startups, regardless of BNPL or not BNPL, they get into Egypt, and because Egypt is such a big market, it finished there, right? There's still no time.
They get overwhelmed with that.
Yes, to go above and beyond that. So I feel like maybe our strategy will be to start all the way around in version. Not just, I see a huge opportunity as well in Africa, continent itself, Southeast Asia as well. We are hearing about Pakistan attracting a lot of money. And I feel like India is a very saturated market. There is a lot already, so we don't touch that. But I feel this is our area, and I think for us, expansion, it's important. So even if there is 5 players, 6 players, regardless, I think that won't stop us from still offering the best services to our users and gain our fair share of the market.
That's so true. Thank you so much, Ibtisam, for being with us and for this great conversation.
Thank you.
شكرا لكل الناس اللي تابعتنا. انا بشوفكم بكره بنفس الموعد. نهاركم سعيد جميعاً.